Welcome back, Patriots. This is the Gunny, and you're on the Patriot Cause. Got a wonderful, wonderful guest, a service member, which I get excited every time I have a great patriot that has served his country and took those skills and those abilities and progressed in the what I call the modern world in the corporation. And Robert Bauer is one of those individuals. And Robert and I have something in common, even though we've never met before. And what that is we're divers. And of course, he is a whole lot better than I am, but we are part of the diving world. And so join us today is Robert. He's a man of many talents and a deep connection to both the military and the emergency services, which is absolutely awesome. Robert is not only the founder of the Spring Adventures LLC, a paddy dive instruction center located in North Central Florida, specializing in open water instruction and guided dives in the breathtaking Florida Springs. I gotta get there, gotta get there. But he's also a proud and should be a U.S. veteran, having served in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and Bahrain, Saudi Arabia. Robert brings a unique perspective with his endeavors in the military, which we talked about. That's not all. See, Robert's journey ends there before diving, doesn't end there, before diving in the world of scuba instruction. He served as a paramedic firefighter for Alachua County Fire Rescue, demonstrating his commitment to serve and safety in various capacity. Awesome. And if you're a diver, and as we know, Robert, safety is paramount. It's tremendous. Your life is at stake every second you're in the water if you don't follow the right process. However, beyond his professional endurance, Robert finds fulfillment in his personal life as well. He resides in Gainesville, Florida, with his wife of 29 years, congratulations, and his two children, grounding him in the joys of family and community. Absolutely. I've been married for 40 years, got two kids, six grandkids. So we're got a lot in common, brother. Today, we have the privilege of delving into Robert's experience, both above and below the water surface, gaining insight into his remarkable journey and the lessons he learns along the way. So join us today in Robert's story. Welcome, Robert. It's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
So I think what I would like to do is ask you a quick question.
Go ahead.
Just like I asked myself the same thing. I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, but I still ask the same question. Why in God's name did I join the service? Why did I join the Marine Corps? Why did you join? I mean,
honestly, I joined the Army for the food, which it sounds horrible.
awesome.
But I was a young man at 18. I was kicked out of my house and didn't have much where to be, and I wasn't putting food on the table. I was behind my bills. I didn't even have milk and butter for the powdered macaroni and cheese.
Oh, awesome.
I was, putting water and putting that together. And I heard there was a place that I could get three meals a day. And I was like, okay.
So tell us your experience in the Army. What did you do? What was your MOS? And how did you specifically when coming out of the Army, your experience, in leaving and coming out of the Army?
Well, I was to start at the beginning is I was at 88 Mike. I did my basic training for Leonardwood, Missouri. Was a permanent party at Fort McClellan, Alabama, which is now closed. And during my time at Fort McClellan, I deployed to Dahran, Saudi Arabia for a little less than a year during Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield. I was in 88 Mike, which is a wheeled vehicle operational specialist, which translates into being a truck driver. I Did a lot when I was in the Army. Is I was doing college. Did my EMT while I was in. I competed in a lot of boards. I was the Force Comm second, Force Comm Soldier of the Year, Second Army.
Awesome.
Did a lot of stuff with that, which was really enjoyable. Got to drive for the post general. Do some other really fun stuff. Is after Desert Storm was over, I had the fun. When you win awards and make your captain look really good, they give you some really nice assignments. And I got to drive for the USO bands. Is I got to drive a jazz band around to all the Marine camps, and
Awesome.
did a lot of that. That was the only fun part when I was
Oh,
in.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
But did a lot of weapons convoys and everything during the conflict, and all
Right.
of that.
So I want the audience to understand this, and I talk about this all the time. Most people, they focus on the military guys and it's, these combat people and the reconnaissance and the sea Navy SEALs and all of that. But what people don't understand is it takes a whole lot of people in the military to make those individuals, those combat people, successful. So when you're talking about why he's a truck driver, no. He is a needed supply specialist, delivering supplies to the front and to the people to be able to do our job. So this is a great example. Not only, fortunately for Robert, there's a lot of situations that got danger that he was not part of. But then you're always part of danger. If you're in the front end of it, it is what it is. But Robert, thank you very much for your service. I mean that from my heart.
Thank you.
I know what it's like to need supplies and need the ability to do the job. So thank you for that.
On that topic, what a lot of people don't realize is, at least in our particular conflict, is our battalion had the highest fatality rate of any battalion prior deployment, simply because of the road conditions were so hazardous. We were rolling vehicles off those small MSR routes and stuff, running into cars and stuff, and we were also we were targets for the Scuds. We were one of the few battalions that was hit with Scud attacks, and we lost the 29 soldiers in the attack in Dhofar Ran, which was actually right next door to my motor pool. So, we weren't on the front lines, but we certainly were taking shots.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
So,
I.
it's danger no matter what job you have, whether you fly an airplane, whether you're a Navy guy on a ship, when the country sends us out, we put our life on the line. Doesn't matter what our job is.
And I was proud to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now you're out of the army.
Now I'm out of the Army. I became a paramedic firefighter. Met my wife, who was also a paramedic firefighter. We've spent 29 years together, raising our kids, working, doing the fire services, doing other things, and have kind of looked for something a little, now a little calmer, a little less over the top. And so of course, I go into something like going underwater, and got I like a little adventure. I can't have too much of a desk job. Doesn't work all that great for me. But so I started my own business about 3 years ago. Have also been going over during some of the peak holiday times to Kalua, Hawaii. And our Kalua in Hawaii, and working with Dive Kauai. I want to give them a shout out. Is Dive Kauai is an excellent location if you're looking for somewhere on the island of Kauai. Beautiful location. It's a much smaller, less hustly bussy than Maui and stuff and everything. Really kind of small kind of feel. Some great instructors out there. That I really learned a lot from working with other instructors. So, definitely want to give them a shout out. Come back. I'm here, working with my company. I'm an independent, instructor and dealer of, Hog Edge gear, which is highly optimized gear. It's a brand that's kind of focused on, individuals who are like me, who most like Cressy, Tusa, all those big brands force you to have a store, have $20,000 worth of inventory and stuff. but this is a really nice thing that they work with us so that we can provide gear to our students and everything. The Diver Supply is a dive shop out of Jacksonville that we work with. And Bob Collins, again, want to give a shout out to them because they're just, it's so gracious of them. Because, you know, we're actually in competition with them, but they still build us up and give us these resources to be able to do our business. So I think that's pretty awesome that they're helping small businesses out there like that.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is, you know, like we're saying, the last time I went underwater, as you're saying, was 1988. So it just, you know, I don't even have a clue what the equipment difference is today.
Well,
you know, when you remember the old, I used to call them charcoal wetsuits. They were just this big, thick rubber wetsuit, you know. You remember, I don't know if you remember
kind of
that
like
or heard about it.
Yep, it was just kind of like truck tire material.
Exactly. Well, that's way gone. I mean, yeah, put it to you this way. You know what a spoon thing is, that, you know, that you, a shoe spoon or whatever, right? That you have to put your shoe on.
Yep.
Yeah. When you're putting these tires around your body, even a shoe spoon wouldn't work. You just had to, you know, stretch the crap out of it. So,
well,
I would just be excited to be able to jump in a new wetsuit now with, you know, zip it up and throw my tank on and take off. So
I say diving is a sport because you have to put the wetsuit on. It still is a bit of an exercise, squeezing your, you know, in that neoprene or bioprene into the, getting all that squeezed in there, because it is really important that you actually have that really tight fitting wetsuit. So that holds that thin layer of water to keep you warm. A lot of people want, you know, a really loose, comfortable wetsuit. It's like, that's not going to do much for you, is you need that tight on there. But once you get in the water, they usually stretch out for you and feel pretty good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to add my greatest adventure diving. I was going through my advanced divers course, and you know all about what I'm going to tell you. Is the instructor took us out about 10, 12 miles or something off the coast of the north, it's not north shore, the north shore of Oahu, right? And there was what they did is they had this big, huge cargo ship, and they cut holes in it and all that stuff for the purpose of the fish, but also for the divers, as you know.
Artificial reef, sure.
Artificial reef. So we go out there, and he says, okay, we're going to be at 115 feet. Now, I never dove before that, less than like, or more than 30.
Oh, okay.
Right? 30 feet underwater, which you know and I know, you can spend a lot of time underwater at 30 feet.
A lot.
But when you start getting down in 100 feet, 115 feet, a whole different ball of wax, because as you go down, your air gets compressed. That means you have less air compared to when you're at. But anyway, so here's what the interesting part about this dive was. So we go down, and we're down there for about maybe 15 minutes, 12, 15 minutes or something.
About 12 at that depth.
Yeah. And what was neat is they had this big cable connected to this ship. Right. And so he brought us along this cable, and 200 feet, there was a big barge that was sunk, you know, 200 feet or so away from the big ship. And he said, what happened was they used the barge to take the ship out, and they sunk the ship and didn't disconnect the barge. So the barge went down with it. So we had the ship and the barge. Yep. So it was really cool. And then on the way back, he said, okay, we're going to hit about 20 feet of water, but we're going to go in to this area that has this small cliff. It's about 7 foot cliff of lava rock. And then it's nothing but sand.
Yeah.
So he brings us there and lines us up. There's about six of us, lines us up against the back part of that wall as we're facing the sand. And he says, just hang on just a couple minutes. And the next thing you know, this school of black tip sharks start coming and swimming all around us. And I'm going, and he's like, no, he's training us, right? You
Sure,
got
sure.
you got to control yourself
Therapy.
underwater. Absolute physical therapy. So if you're, put it to you this way, if you want true excitement, you can go skydiving, and then what, 20, 30 seconds, maybe 4 minutes max or something, you go from an airplane to the ground.
Yep.
But when you go scuba diving, especially at, 30 feet or above or whatever, 1 fathom at the max, you can spend a lot of time. And I'm telling you, it's like being in space. It's a whole different world. If you've never experienced that, I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of Robert and you got to get out there and experience it, because it is one of the most amazing adventures. Snorkeling, don't even talk to me about it.
Ugh.
Don't even talk to me about snorkeling.
I
Don't you,
call it
it's
dork.
not even a comparison,
I call it dorkling.
Yeah, people say, "Oh, I went snorkeling." I says, "No, man, that's okay. I got you. You go scuba diving, and you have a electric eel or something come flowing by your head while you're going around." I had two moray eels that kept hitting me in the mask when I was in Hawaii, and
Some of the jitters get a little friendly. I was trying to teach a Discover Scuba class, which is for people who just want to put their feet in and try to see, hey, is this something I really want to do? It's a 2-hour kind of thing that we can do with guests. And in the middle of it, we're out there on a float, and two monk seals come up to us, and they're playing right around in front of us. And I'm like, you guys are adorable, but I've got a class to teach, and I can't get my students' attention with you two playing.
Yeah. And of course, you're talking to, you're taking your mask off and talking to them, right? Of course not. You can't talk underwater. People say, well, you can. Well, if you have equipment, where
Your
you're,
sign language.
yeah, it's always sign language. Yeah, absolutely. So, but if you can't just go, oh, I'll take my mask off and go, hey, you need to go over there. It doesn't work that way. And you got to be very slow and patient as you're going through that process. But if you haven't experienced it yet, you definitely got to experience it. And Robert, here's what I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
I'm, Johnny on the spot and never been scuba diving. I
Sure.
want to go do this. So what is the experience like when I come and sign up with you? What is that process so that I feel comfortable going under the water and being with you and going through that process?
We kind of focus on doing the e-learning courses with Patty. Is you have about 6 to 8 hours on a package that you're sent a link that's included in the price. Our price is $385, which is the best in the area. And you're going to do about 6 hours-ish, just depends on how good you are with it and everything. And you can start and stop and everything, so you can definitely fit it into your schedule. So you're going to do that e-learning, you're going to finish all that, and then you're going to come to me the first day. We do a 2-day course. Is the first day is going to start off with we get you right in the water and do a swim test. You have to do 200 meters. I don't care how ugly it is. I just don't look like you're drowning. Is be able to swim the 200 meters, and that's going to be in Fanning Springs, one of our local
Right.
crystal
That's without any kind of equipment, just swimming.
without equipment. That's just a
Right. Because
straight.
if you can't swim, you can't dive. That's just the bottom
Right.
line.
You wouldn't believe how many people don't understand that, but. Then you're going to do a 10-minute float. Again, I don't care how ugly it is I don't care, you're treading water, you're doing dead man's float, doesn't matter. It's fine. What's really cool is during the winter here is you get to do your float with manatees. So
Oh, cool. Yeah.
during our recent classes. So that's going to be our initial thing. We have a short little knowledge review that you go over in order to make sure that you remember everything. Then we're going to spend a good hour or more on gear, on putting gear together. I'm going to have you take it apart and put it back together 4 times. And then we're going to go through this whole thing where I just have you with your gear rested on your tank rested on the picnic table, so you're not sitting there having to stand with it. And I'm just going to call out parts so that you're figure getting yourself familiarized where everything is, because you know you're gonna have a small field of vision. You can't really see stuff, so you need to be able to touch and feel and find all that stuff. So we get you oriented to your gear, then we get you suited up in your wetsuit. We walk down to the spring, and we're gonna run through series of skills underwater, and just start out with just simply breathing underwater is the first skill. Then you're going to learn to be taking your regulator out and putting it back in, and how to clear that, how to find your regulator if it comes out of your mouth, all those type of skills, those basic skills that you need to be safe under the water. Then we're going to swim out into the deeper end of the spring. It's about 16 feet out in that area. Swim around in our gear and everything, and just get really familiarized with that. We're going to do that kind of back and forth. Skills, go swim a little bit. Skills, swim a little bit. And that's going to be the first half of the day. We're going to leave Fanning Springs that afternoon and go right next door, about 10 minutes down the road, to Manatee Springs. That's a first magnitude springs. It has 75,000 to 150,000 gallons of water an hour coming out of the vents. So it's a really good practice area because you get that current that you can get in, and you can practice being able to keep yourself stabilized. We're going to do our first open water dive that day. I've taught you all these skills. Now you are going to, I'm going to just give you a signal and say, I want this skill, I want that skill, and you're going to do them. If you need a little more practice, we'll practice, but you have to be able to show me that you can do the skills just on prompting. So that's our first day, that's over with. You're going to go home and you're going to be really, really tired.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Then the next day, each day starts at 8 in the morning. The next day, you're going to come back to Manatee Springs again. We're going to do dives 2 and 3 in that main spring again, going just walking through all those skills, doing dives. We have to do at minimum 20-minute dives for each one of these open water dives that we do to qualify for PADI. Our last dive is our no skill dive. That's just kind of you going out there. We move just right across the park. It's literally is a 2-minute walk, kind of just one spring here, one spring here, parking lot is here. And you go into Catfish Hotel. Catfish Hotel is a very popular dive site around here. It's a smaller opening that is, it's covered in duckweed. So everybody looks at it and they go, that looks like a toxic waste dump. It's not. It's a crystal clear spring with duckweed on the top of it. And the cool thing about the duckweed is you push it out of the way, you see that crystal clear water that you could drink, just you drop down into it, and then you go down underneath it, and it drops down to about 55 feet before it gets into a cavern area where we won't let you go. But you're down 55 feet, and your bubbles are coming up, and they're hitting that duckweed and breaking up. So
Oh, wow. Oh,
phase of,
man.
I call them Jesus lights. You get all these
Oh,
Jesus coming down, and you're just sitting there looking up at them. And almost everybody that I have taught in there, that as soon as they break the surface, is the first thing they say is, that was amazing.
yep.
So it's a really, really, really cool experience for everybody, and a very safe experience, a very good, is everything is consistent, is I always know what the conditions are going to be like. It's always clear. The current is always this. The temperature is always this. The springs are 72 degrees year round. Doesn't
Oh,
matter.
nice.
Doesn't matter what it
Yeah.
is out. And we wear 5 millimeter wetsuits to keep everybody nice and warm. So it's a good, consistent training location.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about it is, I remember being or going through training and all that. And then we had this group that we went and scuba, Marines, obviously, went and scuba dived. And one of them was a grunt, recon guy. And of course, he'd been to Georgia, went to jump school, parachute, all that kind of stuff, those guys, right? And I don't know how many jumps he did from airplanes and so forth. But what I liked about him is he explained it. He says, it's great to go skydiving. If you've never done it, it's an adventure, but it ain't even close to going scuba diving, especially what you're talking about, because the difference is, again, you have that environment, right? But when you're skydiving, I don't care where you're skydiving from, the environment never changes. It's just sky, clouds, ground, right? You may have be out in the desert or whatever. I'm just saying the landscape's going to change, but the difference in diving, especially different places, you get to see different, what I call different worlds. It's different, especially, you know, depending on whether you're doing 30 feet, you're doing 50 feet, you're doing, you know, freshwater diving in a creek or a spring, or if you're going into the ocean. There's so much to see. And you just, especially when you get hooked, that's why I hated it when I left Hawaii, is I had been to so many different places, like the Haleiwa Trench, you know, 90 foot straight down. And then when you hit the sand, there's lobsters everywhere, you know, that kind of stuff. And the experience is just amazing. And I don't care how much it costs to go dive it. It's worth every single penny. You'll never experience anything in life like it.
And something that you're talking about is the differences of different things is the time of day also really can completely change the nature of your dive. With Dive Kauai in Hawaii, what I was doing with them is we would do night dives and we would do day dives at the same location. And it's a completely different world because your field of vision is limited. But there's also there's glowy things that want to come around, and there are creatures that you've never seen before in your life. Sea cucumbers are just, they look like something out of an alien fiction movie with all their tentacles out. And you're just like, you know, they're the most gentle of anything, but they're not going to harm you in any way, but they totally look like something that Steven Spielberg would use to make something to suck your brain out. You know, it's totally. And they have what are called slipper lobster. Those are the redheaded stepchildren of the lobster world. They are ugly. They've got the funny little faces, they're like flat shell faces. They don't have claws on them. Weird looking, but really cool to see all that stuff and just experience, you know, gorgeous purple velvet starfish. Just a lot of really amazing things.
It is. And, you know, the coral reefs and to see the fish, the different types of fish. Now, I'm fortunate, I'll be honest, you know, to learn and be part of diving in Hawaii from the get-go. And I did do some diving in Okinawa in 1986 when I was deployed there with Marines. And they got some wonderful places too. But you also, divers also do what I call the dirty work. You know, they'll go and dive in creeks and rivers and stuff that you can't hardly see your hand in front of your face. You know, and one of the I'm going to say this is a bad experience. It's good, but it's bad. One of our rescue divers that I was associate, good friend of mine in Hawaii, he got a call, and there were two Marines that had went into cave diving in Hawaii, and they didn't show up, didn't come back.
Yeah.
So he asked me if I was willing to go in with him because I was going through the rescue diving class at the time. So he pulled me in and said, "Are you willing to go with me? Because we've got to have, you know, at least three or four of us in lines." Sure. And
no, you have
and,
to.
Yeah. So we went in and we found these two divers. And of course, they didn't have the right equipment. They didn't even have a line. You know, they just thought that they could dive in and have flashlights. They had backup flashlights or whatever, but still, they didn't make it out. And that's a terrible diving experience. So the point I'm making is when you do this process of getting under the water, there is no oxygen for a human being in the water. You can't take your mask off and breathe water thinking you're going to survive. It's impossible. So it's fun and all that, but when you're going through these classes and you're learning how to do this, it's very, very important that you understand the process of breathing and the process of understanding the impact of if something happens, those kind of things. So, and having great instructors, and I'm sure, Robert, you've been doing it long enough, is very important. And They help you to understand all that so that you'll have a better sense of security when you get underneath that water.
Well, and that's something is, a lot of people are scared and about, they think that it's dangerous and stuff and everything. Almost universally, dive accidents happen for one of two reasons. Is one, someone had a health condition that they just had a heart
Right.
attack. And that could happen on the land or whatever. And that's just not anything you can do about it. The other thing is the divers dove beyond their training and without the correct
A
gear.
absolutely.
Universally, is a lot of cave divers in our area. I'm not personally a cave diver, but we are like this. Our area is the number two destination in the world for cave diving.
Oh, wow.
The aquifers are amazing. And you hear, oh, a cave diver died. And it ticks off the cave diving world because a lot of times that's not a cave diver. That is
Right.
somebody either completely untrained or an open water diver who's just decided, oh, I can do this too. And they went in beyond their training. If you stay within your training, this is an extremely safe
Safe
sport.
sport. Absolutely. That's why I just want to make sure that people that understand, that's watching and listening, that's saying, okay, I've been afraid of water, all that stuff, as far as, diving, not necessarily. I can swim, I can do that, but, how do I know for sure that it's safe? Well, you have great instructors that use the necessary knowledge and the process, like you're talking about, step by step, right? And you build up that confidence as you're getting ready to go and do your first dive and then multiple dives after that. And you get, I remember going underwater the first time. Oh my God, I was scared to death. Even though I had all the training, right? But it's just a mental thing. And then by the time I became, an advanced diver and stuff, I was like, where's the water? I was jumping. I was going. So.
It takes a process, and we try to work people in, get their toes in, get them in slowly, get them comfortable, is, really work hard being patient with everybody. My Google reviews, they constantly talk about me being so patient, and I'm sitting there thinking about myself. I'm like, I'm patient. A word I describe myself with, but apparently I'm perceived as being patient.
Right.
And so, it's just a matter of getting those skills down, learning how to do it, and working within your skill set. Everybody's always like, oh, I can never get in the water, I'm scared of sharks. And it's like, sharks don't attack divers. They hit surfers and people who are,
Right, M motion.
they don't hit divers.
No, it's
Divers,
all about the motion stuff. Yep.
they're just like, I don't know if that tastes good.
Well, it's not only that, we're too damn slow in the water. They're,
Yeah,
so fish are a lot faster than we are.
just not really current. I've seen plenty of sharks in the water, and not none of them have given me the time of day. So
Yep. I want to ask you one more question before we end here. And of
certainly.
course, you can input stuff. So your main business, I'm assuming, is bringing divers in or people in that haven't dove before, and you go through that process. But is part of your business also bringing in people that are licensed already and you guys go out on trips together? So if I already have, like, I have an advanced diver's license now, right? And I go to your business, is there like a different process or a different, where you guys select places and you take people that are already certified to go together? Or is it just focus on people that have never dove before?
Well, we have a couple components that we do, and then things that we're looking forward to doing in the future is our primary focus right now is training, but also people like you who haven't dove in a very long time. Your certification is actually still good, but you've probably
But
forgot.
exactly, yes.
We
I
do.
would go take your course all over again. That's what I would do.
You wouldn't is you can take a refresher course, and
Okay.
we go over all of that. It doesn't cost the full course. You don't have to do all the e-learning. We work through all the key stuff, bring you back up to speed that you're able to get back in the water, and you're doing great. So certified divers who need work, we work with those. Ones who need to work on their skills, just did a peak performance buoyancy class with one diver yesterday. She was an open water diver, was having a lot of problems staying where she wanted to be in the water column. we spent a long time just working on that control. And she was really happy after that was over with.
Right. So I want to compare what you're saying, which I think is unique. Again, it's been a very long time since I dove. And when I
Sure.
was diving, it's called the BCD, a buoyancy control device.
Still
But
called.
it's that's right. But that's not just the only thing. Then you have weights and you have things that. So diving, especially as a sport diver, which I was, right? You have to learn how to use those different weights and BCD to do what you're talking about. You have to be controlled in the water and you have to understand that control. So I think, like you're saying, is if I got training on the new equipment, like the new BCDs and the new tanks and the new regulators, the basic skills that I have would probably just come right back into my head and going, yep, I'm pretty good at this.
That's the idea of the refresher or the reactivate course, depending on which one you want to do, is to bring those skills that are just a little rusty back up to date, show you the newer gear, get you working with. I mean, I'm sure you were trained on dive tables. Dive tables are kind of
Yes.
a past now. We're
Oh
using
no. Oh, whoa. That's
dive.
oh, you just scared the hell out of me because I live by dive tables. But yeah, okay.
Dive computers are now the
Like
kind of
standard.
the standard on that, and they're a game changer in safety and also the amount of time that you
Absolutely.
stay in the water. They adjust your no decompression limit or how long you can be in the water without having too much nitrogen in your system. They adjust it depending on what depth you're at during that dive. So it's a dynamic process that works really well. And it allows you to extend your dive over time. Like that deep dive you were talking about, you only had 12 minutes on your whole dive time unless you computed out a multi-stage dive. With a dive computer, it's going to compute that multi-stage dive for you.
Oh,
You can
cool.
come up to 45 feet and you've got another 50 minutes that you can
Right.
dive instead of having to get out of the water. So dive computers are a game changer, and are as far as scuba gears goes, nothing's cheap about scuba, but you can get a good entry level dive computer for $200. Some places,
That's well worth it, trust me.
yeah,
But
some
those
places
of us that didn't have this when we were
are.
diving, I was concerned every minute looking at the watch, looking at the depth. Come back up, get the dive tables, write it down in the logs, all of
Totally,
that.
is the it keeps track of your surface interval. Is how soon you can get back in, depending on what depth you want to do your dive planning on it. It's a game changer on reducing anxiety of divers, increasing safety, and just opening up the world of diving as far as how long you can be underwater.
Yep.
So that's really good. But we also do, to continue your other question, is we do guided dives in our area is Devil's Den, which is a sunken, it's a sinkhole that didn't completely collapse. So the spring is 25 feet underground. You walk down a staircase and then you get
Oh,
in.
wow.
It's 55 feet deep in the area. There's swim throughs that you can go through. Blue Grotto is similar to that. That one's actually all open, but it has two chimneys that you can go down that are, to about 112 feet. Really, really cool locations. They're on, on a lot of the must-do dive lists of different places that you should go to. So they're really interesting locations. We do that. We're currently working, trying to pair up with a location here locally to have kind of a weekend getaway where you come and stay at a house and there's a pool located there. You would be able to spend all of your confined water time in that house, really beautiful log cabin kind of house that we're kind of pairing with, and then you go to the springs. And we're also looking to pair up to kind of be doing trips and different things because I'm getting a lot of requests for those. We with the dive shop diver supply that we work with is we can get you into trips if you're interested and recommend you different places. But that's definitely where our growth direction is going.
Awesome. That's wonderful. So, how does people get a hold of you? Where do we
Spring
go? As far as website, social media, everything.
springadventures.net is our website. We're on Facebook. Just look up Spring Adventures. We're on there as well. Our phone number is 352-558 3630. Any of those, we can communicate with you and get, if you just, you know, if you Google, you know,
Diving Georgia or
Gainesville, Florida, we get a lot of people coming from,
or Florida. I'm sorry, Florida. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we get a lot of people from Georgia simply because it's so, is, you can actually save about $1,000 coming to train with me, including your hotel.
Oh, stay, I believe it. Everything. Absolutely believe it. Yep.
Come down from Georgia to us instead of doing it directly with them, because a lot of their shops actually end up coming down and teaching in our springs, and they're charging you for sending instructors
down there. Yeah.
Overnight instructors. I go home. I don't have to charge you over all that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. 1500 of a normal for them. We're at 385. So.
Well, Robert, it's been a pleasure. Maybe I can get down there. I'm excited about it.
And, love to have.
You know, I just turned 60 this year, so I still got some time. Is the way I look at it. So
get a lot of divers in their 60s. I've taught people in their 70s just right off starting. Got to go a little slower. That's all.
Yeah, and the last thing is this: it's not like running a marathon. Yeah, you're gonna be sore, right? But diving is slow. It's not like running marathons or playing tennis or playing handball and stuff. So a lot of people that can't do these other type of adventures or conditions, diving is a good substitute to be able to go and be involved in scuba diving. I'm not saying that you can do it being unhealthy. That's not the point. The point is, as we get older, I can't run marathons anymore. I know that for a fact, but I know I can dive. I know I can go back to diving. So thanks again, Robert. And I wish you the best, and let's stay together. You know, let me know what's going on. And I will promote you as much as I can up here in Alabama.
All right. Again, I appreciate this opportunity. You have a good day.
Yes, sir. Have a wonderful day.